We're joined today by Karen Kingston and Dr. Anna Mahaicha. This is going to be a fantastic interview. I've brought these two women on today because a lot of what Karen has been showing us from the start has been backed up by Dr. Anna and vice versa. So I think that when we're talking about the nanotechnology, when we're talking about the lipid nanoparticles, what this actually means as a delivery system, combined with the research that Dr. Anna's doing and finding that it is answering so many unknowns for a lot of people. So Karen and Dr. Anna, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
It is an honor to have you both. So I guess what I really want to do is, and I talk about this interview just this week, Karen, I was on InfoWars talking about our very, very first interview. I want to bring that up right now for the viewers. This is the first interview that Karen and I ever did. It is Bombshell Revelations, Never-Ending Vaccines, Tracking Devices, and Vaccines in Vaccines and AI. In this interview, Karen showed us from the patents that, first of all, that the Department of Defense would be transformed through artificial intelligence, not only the Department of Defense, but the whole world. And this was really shocking when we first did it. This was back in December of last year. A lot of people weren't aware of the agenda to merge humans with AI. But the problem is that in order to do this, we've got a never-ending cycle of injections. And this is something that Karen proved in this interview. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, I'm going to link it in the description below. You need to watch this. In light of what we're being told right now, at B20, they want to launch a global health pass. They want us to be injected all the time, preemptively injected to prevent pandemics. This is also in Australia's pandemic preparedness plan, published in conjunction with CSIRO, who was involved in gain of function in Wuhan, also we're told. So, I mean, the pieces are really coming together for anyone who's been following the agenda. But right back to that original interview, it's all starting to make sense now, Karen, as to why they said this will be a never-ending cycle of injections.
Yeah, I mean, the information that I presented from the patents that I found last year, it's unfortunately, it's all coming to fruition, right? I mean, it was clearly laid out. And it wasn't, you know, we also talked about the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is another 32 nation strong organization similar to like the WEF. And they were saying, oh, look, yes, we need to merge humans with artificial intelligence. And they wanted to fill the artificial intelligence work gap. And that was a big part of what we talked about too, the whole misgendering people. The whole point is so that we accept robots as humans, right? So if we don't properly define a man and a woman, then they're going to say, well, who are you to properly define whether it's a human or a robot? So, you know, it's really perverse. It's really demonic, this plan. It is, you know, as we've talked about, this is not of any of God's kingdoms. And the world needs to wake up, because AI is not for our benefit. It is for our enslavement. They're going to experiment on us, and it's really going to be a loss of your free will, your individuality, and your soul. And so people really need to start waking up and speaking up and holding their ground locally. And stopping this.
I just want to back up something that Karen's saying here. She recently, on a previous interview with me, exposed what's listed on the RAND.org organization's website. And on their website, I just did a recent interview with Aman Jabi, a former Silicon Valley engineer, who's talking to us about the dangers of surveillance. He called it an open-air concentration camp. Smart cities are the final lockdown. If for anyone who hasn't seen that, you need to watch it. But this is new and emerging technology for adult social care. And they talk about the example of home sensors with artificial intelligence, which is talking about, they're saying that it's a way to improve care and address pressures, but sensor-based technology with artificial intelligence capabilities is one type of technology that may be useful, although there are gaps in evidence that need to be addressed. And they do talk about the focus of this study was on decision-making processes and implementation. We've been told by these globalists that the time will come where humans won't even need to make decisions for themselves. AI will do it for them. And then we have on the RAND.org website as well, which previously, as you showed us, Karen says, they will be able to manipulate human behavior, coerce people into doing things that they wouldn't normally do. The potential of nanotechnology for molecular manufacturing. If we think that this is only about manufacturing, let's say, you know, objects, we are very, very wrong. So Dr. Anna, you've been doing more research into the quantum field when it comes to nanotechnology, the fact that it's disappearing sometimes, that under the microscope, it's dependent on 5G waves, 4G waves. So talk to us about how all of this is going to merge and what else you found.
So this is really based on the work of David Nixon, who you've also interviewed, who's shown that these structures are assembling and disassembling. And there is science that states that some of this nanotechnology has what's called quantum cloaking devices, and that these are transistors on a level that is nanoscale, and they create something called a time crystal. What that means, it doesn't require external energy, and it can quantum compute. So it is able to have an enormous amount of ability of computations. And so it is similar to the human brain in that, for example, in the book NanoBrain, the researcher discussed that this can compute in 11 separate dimensions. So we are multidimensional beings. And the way Karen explained this is that this is a multi-level war. So we need to look at it from many different levels. So we can look at it from this aspect of nanotechnology, but then also we have to define, well, what is a divine human being, and acknowledge that it has a spirit. Science has a real problem with that because they want to keep spirituality and science separate. But in this case, Yuval Harari and the globalists are acknowledging that they are waging war against the soul and the spirit, and they specifically say that this is the last generation that will actually have such a thing, and that it's a thing of the past, and that they are endeavoring to create unconscious consumers. So then looking at it from that context, what is the platform, the technological platform that can change the brain of a human being, meaning the processing of consciousness, which occurs in the microtubules in the brain? I've discussed this at your last show. And then really utilizing what we're seeing. So these are graphene carbon nanotubes with hydrogel that can mimic neurons and glial cells, meaning it can literally create brain-like tissue, programmable matter. And so if we look at that, that it is a sending and receiving device, it can be programmed externally, but it also can transmit your information. And so therefore, this is a hijacking also of human consciousness. And if you hijack the consciousness and the brain and the mind of a human being, you're affecting the soul, because there is a quantum program of who we are incarnated that says, hey, you are Maria and you're different than Karen and you have a soul purpose. And that's basically here under attack, and we have to look at it from all of these different levels. And the problem is that a lot of clinicians are unwilling to look at it from the broader context, but then you do not understand what is going on.
Absolutely. Okay, you're absolutely right, Dr. Anna. And this is exactly why we keep exploring. This is why we keep digging. You know, when Karen first came on and showed us this cycle of never-ending injections, people thought, how on earth are they going to do this? This seems impossible. Where now we can see how it's going to be achieved. And more importantly, we can see why they want to achieve this, why there is this never-ending cycle for the rest of your life. I compare it to the movie Equilibrium often. If for anyone who hasn't seen that, basically the plot is, you know, the story is that people live having to take injections several times a day in order to comply with Big Brother. So it's very much indicative of the society that we're living in today and what world leaders are calling for at the moment. But the only way out of this is to know what we're actually dealing with. And the problem that we have, and Dr. Anna, you've got some slides for us. The problem that we have is that it's actually harming people, and people need to see exactly what's going on in the blood. So you've got some live blood analysis for us.
So I just wanted to make a point here that there are several different groups who actually looked at vials, and many of them didn't find mRNA, which then calls into question the whole narrative about the spike protein. So what did they find? They didn't find any nitrogen or phosphorus, for example, here, this Dr. Kevin McKern, in the injections. Even Steve Kirsch looked at two Pfizer and two Moderna injections, had a team do this. None of them found mRNA. There's other people like Dr. Daniel Legaz. He found metals, but again, no molecules of life. And so the European Medicine Agency did document that the mRNA is either truncated or fragmented, and so that's very concerning. Double-stranded RNA was found, proteins, all kinds of things that aren't supposed to be there. So that really determines about what risk are we taking for the vaccinated as well as the unvaccinated, because we know that they wanted to develop self-spreading vaccines. And then 26 teams worldwide have looked at the contents and found all of these different metals: cesium, barium, cobalt, iron, chromium, titanium, cerium, gadolinium, aluminum, silicon, sulfur, tellurium, and antimony. So these are individually toxic materials. For example, aluminum is a mitochondrial toxin. So then they found these large structures. And what is important is that this is a finding that's been around the entire globe. Many different teams have found this. And most recently, this is from Mike Adams' posting. He looked at the clots that were found from the embalmer, Richard Hirschman, and then he analyzed them, and he found that these are highly combustible, that they're not made of blood, that they attract different types of elements more than blood would, and that there is a self-assembling carbon-rich structure. This is what we've been discussing from the patents, from Karen Kingston's work, and then what we've been seeing. So in these Pfizer shots, these are images from Dr. David Nixon's. If you just leave the a drop of Pfizer material on a slide, it creates these ribbons, and then from that grow microchips, as David Nixon showed. But this appears to be the optical communication highway that is utilized. And the concerning thing is that these strange structures started appearing in the vaccinated blood initially. This was also described by Philippe Veldenbergen from the UK. These are images from Dr. David Nixon. So this is vaccinated people, but then all of a sudden we started seeing it in unvaccinated blood. I personally do live blood analysis in my office. I initially advocated for D-dimer as a marker of shedding. And so these are people who either had COVID or never had COVID, but are finding these strange ribbons that are very similar. And then they have this rouleau formation. And so this is very concerning because obviously this leads to blood clotting. The D-dimer isn't that sensitive. You have a lot of microclotting that it doesn't pick up.
So I just want to pause you here, Dr. Anna, because Karen's looked into the ability for these injections to self-replicate. They are self-replicating injections. So through the research that you've done, Karen, if you just go back to the previous slide, Dr. Anna, this is exactly what you were warning about: uninjected individuals ending up with their blood looking like this. Because the vaccines have been, injections have been programmed to be able to do this. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're parasitic in nature, right? So they're part biology and part technology, and they're a very infectious parasite. So that's what can happen with shedding. But as we say this, what we talked about before we began re recording, the three of us were discussing, is that it's not just the vaccinated that are suffering from these bioweapon inoculations. There's aerosol attacks in our communities. They're putting it in certain foods and certain beverages. So the reality of the situation is it's not promising if we don't change course. But I don't think at this point, the concept of a quarantine strategy is not, I don't believe, a strategic way to move forward. We need unity. And so I would say, like, a quarantine strategy is not something that people would want to consider right now, unless you're a young woman of childbearing age and looking, you know, I mean, like, looking to get pregnant very, very soon. I think it's important that we need to realize that we're all being exposed to this in one format or another. But they are self-replicating, self-spreading bioweapon parasites. That's what they are.
And it's very important to say, you know, this can come from these chemtrail sprays that's been analyzed, that these do contain graphene rainwater. That's been shown by Matt Taylor and by other researchers. So we don't know where this is coming from. It may not be shedding. It may be the food supply. It may be water supply. But clearly what is interesting is people have speculated, well, what exactly are causing symptoms? And if I may just say, for example, I have seen an enormous amount of people who are unvaccinated who've been suffering severely with cognitive decline, with extreme debilitating fatigue, with neuropathies rapidly progressing. They have not been vaccinated. And even if they were careful, you know, so what I'm seeing is that these structures are in the blood of the unvaccinated, and you can see this Rouleau formation, the clumping of the red blood cells, which impairs the oxygen carrying capacity. You know, someone like this is going to be extremely tired. And what you can see here, and this is a higher magnification. People are saying that these structures are fibrin. It is not. If you look here, this hair-like fibers, that's fibrin. And you can see micro clumping here just a little bit. And then you see your white blood cells who are trying to eat up this structure. I don't think this is artifact. Clearly, the blood is trying to clear it. And it's a mark of also extreme acidity, this background. You know, graphene has a pH of 1.3, is an extremely acidic thing. And people are always asking, well, have I personally chemically analyzed this? No, I do not have the equipment for this. So, but the assumption is that, you know, there's some correlation with what we're seeing in the vials as well as in the blood. And, you know, Karen, you can comment on this. You first presented this. I actually found this through you, that EDTA may actually be helpful for the dissolution of the hydrogel. Plus, it does get out the metals from the body. Right, Karen?
Yeah, that's correct. No, it is. The body does respond to this this chelation. So this was actually in one of the patents where they were saying that the hydrogel does respond to the EDTA chelation. And I think chelation therapies are very important. There's other research that I found in one of the government databases too, that even talks about a zinc or calcium DTPA chelation, which is used to treat radiation. Right. So I, you know, in one of the military databases, it was under COVID-19 and there was a bunch of radiation treatment. So, you know, that also would be effective. And it goes to what you're talking about as regards to what Dr. Nixon observed, is like, how are these structures appearing and disappearing? Well, they're based on quantum dot. They're based on Q dot, which is based on the Bohr particle, which is based on a field. So depending on the electromagnetic field, will actually create, the technology will actually come into existence or disappear. But that being said, that means it is a device that emits radiation. So it would make sense that radiation treatments, chelation radiation treatments, would be used to stop and reverse this and actually eliminate it. These are really important, you know, and I think you've made some important conversations, is that, you know, we need to look at the whole body of evidence for treatments and not, you know, not discredit the fact that people have devices in their bodies now and this artificial intelligence, and that needs to be addressed and treated, as does the immune system, as does nutrition, as does immune therapies for viruses and bacteria, but so does the technology. We can't deny that this technology exists and it's in people's bodies, and it needs to be removed with treatments that the general medical community has not been comfortable or even aware of before, because they've never been faced with this before.
Absolutely. I want to discuss the quantum dots and what's actually in those a little bit later. But Dr. Anna, if you want to keep taking us through this, I'm going to try not to interrupt too much because I do that a lot, but I just have so many questions.
Let me just show you just a couple more. So this is someone who had chronic fatigue, had COVID, had an elevated D-dimer, found these strange structures. And then we just did two infusions, did another live blood analysis. I didn't find any structures. So, you know, I'm working with a number of people with before and after data, because I think that's really important to figure out what really clears this. And then, you know, how can we come up with treatment protocols that we can verify? Because one of the things that I see is, for example, this is somebody who just had quote unquote COVID, and they were full of these structures and they were full of rouleau formation. This is a mid 30 year old with extreme fatigue and brain fog. So clearly, you know, there's something here that needs to be addressed. This is the same person. You can't find a red blood cell that is just solitary. It's all just clumped together around, you know, these ribbons. There's something else here to consider that clearly shows up under this live blood microscopy. You know, we are taking into account that there are certainly metals that have been found in these vials. So helping people detox from this, and then also protect the unvaccinated by understanding environmental attacks, by understanding shedding, by understanding the food and water supply may be contaminated. How can the population help themselves and understand we are in a full-blown war? This is unrestricted warfare. And if you look at it from that way, every human being on this planet has to protect their health in every which way they can.
I absolutely agree with you. Karen, do we know what will be in the quantum dots? Because I know you've been looking into it a little bit. Is it going to be the same sort of graphene technology? Because if, for anyone who doesn't know yet, the US military actually is funding a project to develop these dots, which will be a mark in your right hand, it seems, in which you, your health data, your financial data, everything will be in that quantum dot. Is this different, this technology, to what's been injected inside of people?
Well, quantum dot is it's an energy source. So it's, I think it's kind of like you, so quantum, so I'm trying to think how you could explain it. So there's a number of different, they're going to probably make thousands, if not millions, of different Q dot technologies, right? But quantum dot, Q dot, is simply an energy source. And a quantum dot is about, the largest they are is about 0.1 nanometers, right? And a nanometer is one millionth of a micrometer. So, I mean, you're talking one trillionth the size of a virus sometimes. So the very, it's a source of energy. And that energy, and it's from optics. So it uses light to emit energy and to receive energy. And so I think that's what people have to think of it as. So there'll be a whole series of technologies that are backed by quantum dot, and it is energy from the quantum. I mean, it's the quantum field. It's a different, it's not an energy field that we've typically, used before. We use a standard, you know, again, it's from optics. It's from light. It's, so I think we can take a look at the patent, and it's based on frequency. It's not, and frequency can be emitted from 5G towers and our technologies. But we also, as Anna has said, we human beings emit frequencies too. So it affects the frequencies in our body, right? So as you become inoculated with these quantum dots, you're gonna, they host electromagnetic field, you're emitting radiation within your body, you know, your energy field will change. Does that make sense?
It does when you dumb it down for me, because I'm not, you know, certainly not an expert in this area, but I'm learning and I'm keen to learn, because it seems that they're hell-bent on pushing us into this type of reality, I guess. So are we saying, does that mean that that people may not even need to go and physically get this quantum tattoo, Karen? Are we saying that this technology is even potentially able to, I don't know, interact with the luciferase inside of people now if it's light activated?
I mean, you can get inoculated with this stuff anyway, right? I've been sick, I was told I've got a tick. So someone just came up and prayed with me at an event, and you know, I got a full blown on military grade weapon, you know, inoculated in me. And you know, as what Anna was showing, that's my blood looks like that. My blood's low. I've got the technologies. I've been, you know, searching for decent doctors to try to treat me. But so you don't, you know, so the quantum dot part, the point that it's going to be on your hand or whatever, on your forehead, whatever they're talking about, you know, do you need to physically go have that done? No, it's an intelligent technology. Once it's in your body, it can be programmed, or it can, you know, it can be pre-programmed, or it can have the consciousness to go and assemble wherever it needs to go and assemble.
Well, you know where I'm going with this. I'm going with, if human beings have this inside of them, I'm trying to figure out what that final mark of submission is, where we say, I can't buy or sell without this thing, right? So my thoughts are, if even the uninjected are having this shedding, which I don't think is our fault. We didn't purposely do it. We did everything we could to withstand. Many of us lost our entire lives and careers standing against this thing, right? So it's not our fault. But if the point comes where they say, oh, well, you can no longer buy or sell without this digital ID, and you don't even know that you have this technology inside of you, is that your consent? I'm really trying to be very cautious here.
So Marie, I know, I mean, you know, I'm a Christian and I read the Bible and I understand what the book of Revelation says, but you have to understand what this technology can do and what they've said they're going to do, which is they're going to put it in our food supply, our water supply, our clothing. You're not. So the plan, this is why Biden signed the executive order on September 12th, saying that every human cell needs to be programmed like a computer, because they plan on poisoning our environments with this AI bioweapon. So are you going to be able to buy or sell it? No, you won't be able to drink or eat anything that's not going to be inoculated with this parasite. There's not going to be a choice if we don't stop this. I think we went over this last time. The patent says like that we have magnetic meat in America. Okay, the meat, you know, people just go and test out the meat supply. There's this gel that they put in the meat supply that they've been coating our meat with. And so when you eat meat, you're going to be inoculated with this AI nano weapon, right? That gets into your body. It causes the autoimmune disorders, and it has CRISPR nanotechnology, CRISPR Cas9 in there, right, to start hijacking your cells. And we can go through a little bit of that too, for people will understand what this technology does. But it is a nanotechnology that is very durable. I mean, it's almost indestructible. It, you know, from one of the patents, it can withstand I think up to 170 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's a nearly indestructible parasite, and it's highly infectious, and it's intelligent, and it's aggressive, and it's a parasite. So it's going to want to live and have its own life form. That's what this is.
Dr. Anna, I have a question for you. Under the microscope, have you ever tried to destroy those nano ribbons?
Well, so, you know, this is on a very high magnification. You can't really destroy it. It's that's very challenging. You know, I'm just in a medical office here in terms of, you know, but I do have colleagues who are looking at things, for example, in rainwater. There have been other people who have more sophisticated equipment, but it's still, you know, challenging because what we discussed earlier is that this hydrogel is a programmable matter, and it carries a blueprint that can be invisible. So the to get back to the point of that David Nixon showed, that if he shielded his slides from EMF radiation, these microchips that were clearly visible just disappeared. Then he exposed it again, they would reappear. So what that means is that there's a program in the substance that is able to reassemble whatever that program was, whether or not, so it is now a material reality, meaning unfolded from what we call the quantum field of reality, or it is enfolded, meaning not visible to us. You would call this quantum cloaking. But my concern is that that we have to also address technologically the underlying program in this programmable matter. And that is very sophisticated if you think about, from a technology perspective, how far advanced this is. You can look at Charles Lieber's work, the liquid computer that he wrote about in 2001, where he clearly showed that there are transistors and circuitry that is almost atomic size. And so this is very complex, and they've had this stuff for 20 years and have weaponized it. We know about the neural dust, about all kinds of other things. So it's a very complicated technology. And I just want to explain real quick. Last year in 2021, Dr. Peter Gurayev was the nominee for the Nobel Prize, and he developed the gene wave laser model that clearly showed that our DNA has a photonic program. What did he do? He was able to transfer the genetic material of one species of a frog via a laser to another species of a frog, meaning the light and the sound of that DNA was encoding the entire genome. So now our technology is so sophisticated, you can manipulate genetics with a photon. You can manipulate the spin state of photons. So what Karen is talking about, the quantum dot, you don't need CRISPR and slicing and dicing DNA. You don't even need mRNA. You can modify human and the genome via resonant frequencies and electromagnetic frequency, via optics, via magnetic fields, and this is all documented.
So literally the only way to stop this is to stop 5G, to stop 4G. I mean, do we even need to stop 3G? The world won't do this.
Well, so just so what Anna said is absolutely correct, right? I mean, this is the optics, lights, sound can actually modify our DNA, but subtly. Normally it's subtle. But from what I've read in their patents, what I've read in the SEC filings from Cloud Minds, which is launching the 5G species, they're calling it a species, right? They clearly state it's all dependent on 5G. So if we really want to stop this, if you remove the frequency that is a part of the source of the energy for this demonic technology, then that's going to help stop it and reverse it, so there, I think that is an important, I know that's an important part, is removing 5G from our environment. That being said, there's not a lot of time, because as this stuff progresses, as it continues to develop in our bodies, as they deploy more and more of these quantum dot AI parasites on us, and they develop per their patents, this is common sense at this point, they start developing their own electromagnetic field. They host their own electromagnetic field. They don't need anything, at a certain point of development. And certain technologies, as Anna has talked about too, certain technologies on their own don't need any source of energy. But specifically, the ones that I've looked at that are fueled by QDOT to do the hybridization of humans and to produce viruses in humans do need optics, do need 5G, and do need and LED to operate. But again, it's all based on frequencies. And I think it's an interesting, I mean, we can go into some of the patents, and I can share with your viewers so they can understand, maybe they can see what this is doing. And we'll talk about the vaccines, but understand that this is really related to the technology. The vaccine is just one delivery form.
It's interesting that you talk about LED as well, because that's exactly what my just released this week, my interview with Aman Jabi talks about the reason why all of the LED lights are being built for the smart city network. They're all LED lights, and they can all subvert humans. In fact, they're designed to make humans look down.
Wow. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that might be right here in this patent. We'll go into the quantum dot patent first, which does discuss the LED lights, I believe. So, just to, if your viewers haven't seen me before, this patent is part of one of the mRNA patents that you can find on the Moderna website. So within the Moderna, on the Moderna website, you'll find a patent for their lipid nanoparticle technologies. Within that patent, you'll find this patent, which was blocked last year. It was made an intellectual property secret, but I had a copy of it from my early research. And so it clearly states, so the lipid nanoparticle technologies use semiconductor crystals known as quantum dot. They're based on the Bohr particle. So as Anna was saying to us, they're based on frequency. The technology, it appears, it disappears, it functions, or it doesn't function based on certain frequencies. And those frequencies can come from 5G, your towers, they can come from optics, from lights, they can come from LED, and they can also come from within the body. The body, certain chemical reactions can also trigger this. And the quantum dot, they also call it, it's a nanocrystal or Q-dot. And this is owned, I think this is important for people to know, Q-dot, this is owned by Thermo Fisher Scientific, which is the world's largest biotech company. And they are, you know, a manufacturer of the LNPs for the mRNA vaccines. And it clearly states that they are, they emit electromagnetic radiation. So these are devices. These are electromagnetic devices that emit radiation the same way as your microwave does in your cell phone. And they're inside our bodies now.
Wow.
And then they talk, so this is what's interesting though. So this Q-dot, they go through the structure, the shell structure, the core structure, the nanocrystal. And as you go through it, that structure happens to be the same as, oh, the spike protein, which is also similar to, oh, human cell structures, right? So they've created these things called, you know, synthetic liposomes using, I think it's called dendrimers, we'll get into it. So they've synthetically recreated cells and cellular structures within our body that are part biology and part technology.
This is exactly what Dr. Anna said in my last interview with her. They've been able to essentially recreate the human brain.
They can, yes. So I have the patent on how they rebuild the human immune system. I haven't found the one on the brain, but I probably could find it pretty easily. I just haven't gone to the database.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's over 100 different dendrimers that are Q-dot based. So that's to rebuild 100 different cellular cells and cellular structures. And we'll talk about that. That's in this. So yeah, it supports what she said. So, okay, so these are, so she, you know, as you were saying, and they weren't finding the mRNA. Well, these are quantum dot mRNA delivery systems. What does that mean? It doesn't mean the quantum dot's delivering the mRNA. It means the quantum dot's doing the RNA editing within the cells. It's hosting an electromagnetic field, and it's creating the new RNA structure from DNA sequences or RNA, you know, within the cells. That's what it does. So that's why there's no RNA in there, because it's a program.
Wow, that's huge, Karen. That's huge for people to understand. Actually, that you're saying the Q-dot is manipulating the mRNA inside the cell. It's not an external mRNA that's getting put. This is a huge point.
Yeah, yeah. And there is, I've got to write it up. Yeah, it uses something, we'll go through it a little bit. They use FISH technology. Yeah, so it creates the new, the synthetic RNA from the mRNA sequence is created within the cell. It's created within the nucleus of the cell. And that's the toxins. And what's produced is not just it's not just a biological now virus. It's not a biological spike protein. It's part biology, part technology. I'm going to show you how that happens too. So this is just validation. Again, Moderna is working on the LNPs, and they are producing, they are supplying quantum dots. I mean, it's in their patents. They're also supplying some of the liposomes and stuff. So within this patent, which we'll get to it in a second. It does explain how they do. Let me go to this real quick. Before we get to that, within the Moderna, within the quantum dot patent here, it says right here that the external source of energy to fuel the quantum dot can be chemical, thermal, electrical, magnetic, electromagnetic, physical, low energy radiation, high radiation, and photons. So that's all in here.
It says any other energy source. Any other energy source. It says that.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, yeah. At some point, yeah. But I want to go back to the inventors, though. Which I'm not going to do that right now. But the inventors of the 5G species specifically talk about 5G. So 5G is definitely a foundational energy source. But this is the quantum dot. So this is what's scary, is this is the quantum dot patent, and it talks about using surface enhanced REM and scattering. So that those are the DNA probes. These are DNA probes that are used for genetic editing in cells in labs. That's what this is. This is CRISPR-Cas9. And so this is what this quantum dot technology is. And the whole, you know, and it talks about how it's delivered using metallic nanoparticles that can be used of any metal or any alloy. And it's used here, silver, copper, gold, lithium, aluminum, palladium, and the like. And so this technology, those, like some of those little spikes that you see on the spike protein, those aren't spikes, those are DNA probes to actually extract DNA sequences. And so this goes into it a little bit more. They actually specifically talk about, so what is the quantum dot DNA probe technology? It's called FISH, fluorescent in situ inbred hybridization. And it explains right here that the oligonucleotides are the codon sequences of the, you know, the three code sequences that you would have for that make up different genetic sequences for proteins. But it goes in and it tags, you know, it it'll tag a cell. And so these can be pre-programmed to go in to tag brain cells, to tag neurological cells, to tag the ovaries, to tag the sperm, right? And it will have a program to then go in, penetrate the cell, penetrate the nucleus, and then partially or completely clip out the codons and put in new codons. So, and also keep in mind, you can't do mRNA editing without an electromagnetic field. So the quantum dot hosts the electromagnetic field so that it can actually, what's the word, like splice the DNA. You know, you can't, it's not like, I mean, they have these scientists show these little scissors. I'm like, they're not scissors, okay? Like, you actually have to host an electromagnetic field to do gene editing, right? And that makes sense. I mean, that makes sense. Like, little miniature nano scissors doesn't make sense. So that's why the quantum dot does this. And
can
so
it be programmed and reprogrammed remotely, Karen, once it's in someone?
Yeah, it can then start. It can then start creating new genetic structures as it. It can get new programs, and it can also learn. You know, we showed that last time. It has consciousness, so it can then decide how it wants to continue to do gene editing within the body.
Dr. Anna's nodding along.
So it says right here, the conjugate can also be used to detect cell morphology and fluid flow, cell viability, proliferation and function, endocytosis, exocytosis. But what they basically, they go on and you know, as you go through the patents, they say that the AI is obviously more intelligent and more effective at doing gene editing than any human experiment has ever been.
Wow.
Absolutely brilliant. And so what this is saying is that the mRNA injection is a cover story for an artificial intelligent frequency-based gene modification system that is self-learning and that can decide how to edit that human. Did you just say that, Karen?
Yeah, thank you for understanding me. I feel heard. Thank you.
Brilliant.
Yay, someone understands. Yeah. No, but the thing is, so when doctors, I'm not saying, Anna, there are no viruses being made. Viruses are being made, but they're not biological. They're biosynthetic. You know, we'll go into that a little bit more. I think I have to hit escape because I want to go back now to, I want to go back to, I'm sorry, guys. I want to go back to.
Don't stress. I'll edit it out.
Okay.
Well, my editor will edit it out, and she's amazing.
You think I would? I'm just so not tech savvy. Oh, this is what I want to go back to. Yeah. So we'll pick up where Anna was just saying, because this is exactly what she was just saying.
I swear what you just said, nobody has understood so far. And this
I
is
didn't
so
understand.
This is the most important interview ever. I'm going to share it everywhere. Oh my God.
So if you can, Dr. Anna, if you can just really hammer home the point, because I'm not sure that I fully grasped it myself. So if when Karen's done going through this, if you just want to take us back to that point and really hammer it home, that'd be great.
Yes.
So, okay, so let's pick it up. So we're just talking about how the quantum dot technology in the lipid nanoparticles are, it's not about delivering an enveloped mRNA sequence. It's about delivering a gene editing technology into the human body. And that technology is part biology and part technology. So it's an AI. So as you go through again, this is the quantum dot patent that's in the lipid nanoparticle patents for all mRNA vaccines. What they talk about is that the quantum dot is merged with dendrimers. What a dendrimer is it's like an exosome or a liposome, right? It's one of the shells to make up a cell or a cellular structure. That's basically what it is. And it can mimic up to 100 different types of dendrimers. So when they talk about the cationic lipid that's in the vaccines, that's the thing with the positive ionic charge. What they're talking about is essentially a synthetically created cell membrane called a liposome with a communication platform that would normally be called an exosome. And it's fueled by an energy source, and that is the quantum dot dendrimer, which mimics a human liposome and exosome. It mimics it, and they can make hundreds of these. So the quantum dot mimics of anatomically, or sorry, like a couple atoms thin layer of a cellular surface that is both it's both material based, so there is structure to it. And it probably has the poly, when I read the polyethylene glycol, the pegylated lipid in it. So it's obviously visible to the naked eye. It's nano size, so it's structure based, but it's also energy based, and it's intelligent. So these dendrimers, we'll take a look at them. They mimic an exosome, so they can penetrate any cell. And the exosomes are like, think of them as like part of like the cytokines. It's signals, so it takes over the communication platform. Does that make sense? Like, so the dendrimers are, they're very thin materials. They have an energetic field, and they take over the communication of the cell. That's, I think, the best way to describe it. So it's not a spike protein that's penetrating the cell. It's this dendrimer, this synthetically recreated liposome with an exosome layer, basically, or an exosome functionality. And that's the gene delivery system. So it's not the spike protein. This is it, which this does look like the spike protein. This is the delivery system. It's a quantum dot fueled dendrimer. And that's the, see that cationic lipid? That was just a lie. It's not true. I mean, they could, well, this can be merged with a lipid, but it's an intelligent platform. And as they say, it disrupts the integrity of the cell. And it goes in, and it hijacks the communications. And as we saw before, it has the SARS and the FISH gene editing probes as part of the technology. And I have no concept of how that works. And here, oh, I was right. I haven't looked at this in a while. And I said, yeah, polyethylene glycol is a big part of it. So polyethylene glycol is, petroleum based, kind of a plastic base, and it can mimic all kinds of material in our body. It can mimic blood. It can mimic skin. It can mimic endothelial cell lining. It can mimic nerve tissues. Everything. So there's thousands and thousands of different series of PEG that mimic different types of materials. And they're not drugs, by the way. They're categorized as materials, as devices, by the Center for Devices and Radiological Health at the FDA. So these are not vaccines. They're devices. They're material grade devices. So the dendrimer, they said here, as I said right here, there's hundreds of families of them. Every system in your body, it can mimic a cell and cellular structure in your body. And then this is a peer-reviewed publication on the lipid nanoparticles. This is what they look like. So this would merge with different dendrimers. They could put more than one in here to mimic different types of cells, nerve cells, brain cells, blood cells, what have you. This is what I wanted to get to. I don't know, why did I skip over this? This just talks about, this is interesting. This talks about the cubosome. So this is probably what this is, the single-walled carbon nanotubes, the graphene oxide, because for Q.2 manifest, it does need, it does actually need to manifest from a field, so electromagnetic field or optics. So it needs the single walled carbon nanotube. It needs this cubosome environment that's going to actually receive the field to then bring forth the quantum dot and this technology into existence to then start operating. And we've gone over this on, I have to write a Substack on this. We've gone over this before on one of your shows. So this is what was developed by the United States Army in collaboration with the Chinese Army.
Just for my understanding and for the viewers, does that mean that the spike is not actually doing anything, that it's actually completely the technology that's been embedded into people that is doing all of the damage?
What we're calling a spike protein is an artificial intelligence bioweapon.
Right.
That's a dendrimer. That's a dendrimer that mimics exosomes and liposomes in your body.
Wow.
And it's intelligent. So that's what I'm saying. So what we, you know what I'm saying? They're just calling things the wrong thing.
It's not just calling things the wrong thing, because what we're saying is, no, this is actually proof that this is an AI bioweapon or a biological versus technological bioweapon. We've got to make the distinction here, because we're no longer talking about even a virus that was manufactured in Wuhan. We're talking about a specific weapon that was manufactured that is very different to what a lot of even doctors thought in the beginning. And when they're talking about the spike protein damage, no, it's not spike protein damage. It's actually bioweapon damage.
Yes. Yeah, so we've been lied to. That's correct. But what I want to, so here's the thing, because this is an artificial intelligent bioweapon that mimics below the cellular level of our body, it mimics our genetic codes. What doctors are seeing and what they think they're seeing as a spike protein, it looks like one, but it's not, because it's part biology, part technology, what's being produced in the body.
This is exactly what you were saying, Doctor.
And it's not being produced by a virus. So all the research that was done out of Wuhan and Ralph Baric and stuff, that research did happen. But you know what? They left out the most important part of the story, which I've covered before on many platforms, which was, it wasn't about just making all these mRNA sequences and doing all these tests ex vivo, in vitro, in petri dishes, right, and weaponizing viruses. It was about taking those codes and merging them with liposomes and dendrimers, right, to then produce inside the human body these viruses. So it was a merger of AI codes to produce toxins in the body with an intelligent platform. That's what it was. I mean, and they say it, in their studies, but all of our experts seem to be like skipping over those paragraphs for some reason.
Well, I think it's not, I mean, let me not make excuses for anyone here, but for all of us, it's a very new area. For many people to think of COVID as a virus, or, you know, even just thinking of COVID as a bioweapon, no one really understood the level of what that meant until people like you, Karen, started actually explaining it to us. You know, I didn't understand this information about the spike is the first I'm hearing explained in this level of detail, in relation to when you talk about the quantum dots, or the quantum field mimicking our DNA, mimicking our cells, or many people didn't know this existed.
I agree. No, this is the first time I'm sharing it too. I've got thousands of pages of stuff to share, so I understand that. But what I'm saying though is there was information from Ralph Baric and EcoHealth Alliance in their documents. There was information, as you know, I shared on your platform over a year ago, where I said these are not vaccines; they're devices. They are extremely advanced devices and technologies that are intelligent. And, you know, I guess there was a lot of cognitive dissonance where people just were more comfortable around the concept of a virus. But, you know, that is the least of our worries. And like this triple threat, death winter that's coming up is not coming from anything from nature. It's going to be something that's going to be produced inside human bodies. And it's likely not going to be actually that infectious, right? Highly deadly viruses are not that infectious. This parasite is infectious, okay? It needs to get into your body and then start doing its damage and producing. This parasite can then produce viruses within people's bodies, biosynthetic viruses that will make them sick.
Well, I was just about to say, so it may not even be the fact that people that have had the injections have a completely destroyed immune system now. It's that they have this technology inside of them that can be programmed at their will. So when they say there's another pandemic coming, best believe they already have the program to press a button and switch it on.
Well, and the, I mean, I don't know if it's that. Yeah, you can expand on it, Anna. Sorry.
The issue is also, you know, this whole frequency connection is also very, very important, because we don't know now. So these ribbons that we're seeing, are those correlating with what is being seen in the cadavers, these long 6 feet clot? Is this the hydrogel with the metals? I mean, is Mike Adams's work indicating that? Because he was saying, and then this is, appears to be a carbon-based structures with metals in it that's combustible. So, yeah. You know, is this the artificial intelligence part? And the concern is it grows under frequency. Does that mean that if we are ingesting it, inhaling it from chemtrails, if we are getting it in all of these different ways, is this stuff growing in us? So that, does that mean that we have to continuously clear our blood, which is what I am thinking? You know, yeah. I see people who are getting eDTACulation, they get cleared, and then, you know, they come back later and maybe, you know, they have more structures because they've been places, or, you know, we got sprayed a lot. So this is a continuous effort that's going on, and it's pervasive, and it appears to be increasing. And maybe that's the reason why they have relaxed all of these lockdowns. It's like they've inoculated enough people to create a self-spreading mechanism. It's now, you know, it's been found in all of the vaccines, this graphene stuff. It's been found in medical supplies. It's been found in masks and all kinds of things. And so we're exposed all the time.
So, and I want to bring up something up. So, you know, that's the, what's important. This is such a good point, and I'm so blessed to be talking to you, the two of you right now, is that we can't have a narrow mindset, right? It's not that we weren't just injected with what they were calling a spike protein or an mRNA seems for a spike protein, and now we found out it's an AI bioweapon. There's multiple bioweapons in there, right? So this Q-dot technology I'm talking about is not the only technology in there, right? Those blood clots, we know what they are. They're genetically engineered hydrogel that are soft actuators. Actuators are electromagnetic networks. That's what they are. So they are biosynthetic electromagnetic networks that are being rebuilt inside the body. Now, the other squiggly thing, that looks a lot like, and I haven't had a chance to review on it, a lot like a biosynthetic M. neogreen parasite that is part graphene oxide and part of this sea worm called M. neogreen. M. neogreen is an ingredient in the Pfizer vaccine. Yes, it is. And what is it used for? It's used for transfection. Specifically, it's used for genetic editing of nerve cells. It's been used in the study of retinal diseases to create this biosynthetic worm to try to rebuild nerve cells in the retina. And so is that another thing that's in our bodies now? And I guarantee you that thing was not put in there for, it was probably put in there to what you're saying, Anna, to help learn and rebuild our neural structures in our brain. And possibly too, obviously, I guess the vision part would be part of it. But there's all of these weapons that are part biology, part technology, they're parasitic in nature, and they are intelligent. They created new species and we were injected with them. We were injected with parasites from new species. And it's hard for people to understand that, and they don't want to understand that. And I understand why you don't, but if we don't recognize what is actually happening, then we cannot save ourselves or our children or humanity. But if we recognize it, then we can work with, you know, brilliant doctors like Anna and come up with strategies to treat the biological parts, to treat the technology parts, and to stop this, as well as to make major changes in our communities and our nations about what we are allowing our government to do to us and our children. It's got to stop.
I absolutely agree.
We're being lied to. We're being told 5G is not good for us. We were told the vaccines, they're not good. They're enslaving us, experimenting on us, and exterminating us. And we have to wake up to the lies. I mean, how many people died suddenly, just dropped yesterday? How many people do we have to watch drop dead? How many people do we have to watch get sick? How many parents have to mourn the loss of their child? How many women have to now realize that they are never going to have a child before we rise up? I mean, we have to acknowledge this was never a virus and it was never a vaccine. It's a bioweapon.
And I just want to second that, and I want to say, this is also a spiritual war. And what Karen has said before, this is satanic. That there are declassified FBI documents who discuss that our government has, contact to extra dimensional beings, that are demonic. And there's, for example, documentaries on this. So I just think that we need to open our minds, and then also that our weapon is also, all of you women are very, very spiritual. I'm a very spiritual being, and to keep our love, our joyfulness, our hope, no matter what happens, because the frequency vibration of despair and depression and all of that also feeds this overall despair that they want to create, humans without a future vision. And so the spiritual dimension of this war is extremely, extremely important. And I believe that our brains are being attacked to create artificial, depression and cognitive decline. I mean, I see 30-year-olds now who are unvaccinated with dementia-like symptoms, and they call it long COVID, but I see these structures in their blood. So what I'm saying about this is that we need to put the armor of God on and, use nutrition and use every way, radiation shielding, turn off your Wi-Fi, go out in the forest, hug a tree, put your feet in the ground. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous. I don't really care what people have to say about what's ridiculous. This is about the survival of the human species. And when I hear scientists who are saying, oh, I can't talk about this microtechnology because it would ruin my reputation, I'm like, 5.3 billion people are injected with this, and the human species is at risk. And if you are, a biblical scholar, read Zechariah, who says 70% of humanity will be dead and go to the devil. So what do you think, what times these are? This is the book of Revelation that we're living.
Yeah, but like you said, I do want people to have hope, right? And I think that there's been this kind of hunker down, stock up on, and I'm not saying don't prepare, it's so important. The darkness must flee in the light. And Maria, what you're saying is like, yes, you're like, well, they didn't misname something. They lied to us. Yes, but because before the devil can destroy, he must deceive. But the deception cannot exist in the truth. So the best thing we can do is share the truth with one another. And as you're saying, like too, is like, and also enjoy life and live life, but share the truth with one another and share the truth with people you have not done so yet, like your local school board, your local community, maybe neighbors you haven't talked to in a while. This is a war for the hearts and minds of humanity, and we have to win it based on truth. We cannot allow our neighbors to continue to be deceived and expect that we're going to be saved.
I agree. I think that every single person who knows the truth has been gifted with it's a gift and a huge burden at the same time, but it's a burden that I think every single person on the side of truth is willing to carry and is honored to carry. And of course, it means that there is more responsibility on those people, despite the, I've spoken about this a lot, despite the fact that they've lost so much, despite the fact that they've been the lepers of society, that they've been hated, turned against by every single person that they know, they still have to forgive people, love them, and still try to save their lives. I mean, the burden is a heavy burden, but it's one that I personally am honored to carry, because if I don't, then I don't love my fellow man. If I don't try, then I don't love my fellow man. And, would you let someone fall into a ditch if they were blind just because they were blind? Or would you try and help them to not fall into that ditch? And that's exactly what we're doing right now, on this broadcast and through all of your work, ladies. I'm so grateful. I think most certainly a future conversation, definitely looking into perhaps Dr. Anna. The results that you're having, maybe from multiple treatments of this chelation, whatever we can do to sort of keep digging, keep having these discussions. Because what happens is, when we have discussions that other people are afraid of having, more people come to the party, more people come and start to speak out, and that's what we need more of.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, I agree. Thank you so much, Maria, for your work and the opportunity to share this.
Thank you both. God
Thanks,
bless.
Karen. Phenomenal work. Thank you.
Yeah, they go to karenkingston.substack to read
Yes.
some of the articles. So,
Yes. Please, before we finish, ladies, tell everyone where they can find your work.
karenkingston.substack, or just Google Substack Karen Kingston, and you can find it there. And you can go to myfight.org, which is eventually we're going to start having materials up there that you can print out or share that will be in terms that are vernacular that's easy to communicate with people to start waking them up to what's actually going on. So I'll be working on that. So that's myfight.org. Just register there.
Wonderful. And Dr. Anna, where can people find your work? We've linked it before, but just in case.
My Substack is Anna Mihalcha, MDPhD.substack.com. It's called Dr. Anna's Newsletter.
Wonderful. Thank you so much again, ladies, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Head to Survival Supplies Australia, a Z Media partner today to prepare you and your household. They have the most comprehensive range in the country for all of your survival needs, including long life food, emergency 20-year life water, alternative power sources, and so much more. Head to the link in the description below to let them know you've come from Z Media. Z Media is the leader in independent media in Australia. Head to zmedia.com and the interviews page for all of my latest interviews with experts from across the world, contributions on The Stu Peters Show, and weekly Zero Time broadcasts. You'll also find another videos page on there where you can stay informed about what's happening around the world. In the merch section, men's tees, women's tees, long sleeve tees, unisex hoodies, and kids merch, you can support us on the support page, and also head to our affiliates page to support the businesses that choose to partner with us.